The midterm elections are less than a week away now, and a lame duck session of Congress will follow that. The bulk of the time that they expect to spend will likely be on a budget plan, but they will also need to do a Defense Authorization Act. Trey Hodgkins is Senior Vice President of Public Sector for the Information Technology Alliance for Public Sector. He says federal contractors and agencies need to keep an eye on the future of the 2015 version of the Act. Trey, it's great to have you on the program this afternoon. What in particular about the NDAA as it sits right now bugs you?
Well, there's a couple of provisions that we're watching that are technology-related, information technology-related. The first relates to FITARA. It's still there, it's still alive, and it's still receiving attention from the staff and the committees. Whether or not they can reach a resolution and what the final version would contain is unclear at this point, but we believe it would contain something addressing CIO authorities, and a greater roles and responsibilities for them in the IT investment decision-making process. It's going to contain a data center consolidation and optimization component. Beyond that, it's unclear, for example, if it will address cloud computing and further, you know, emphasizing and encouraging adoption by the federal government. There were provisions related to improving acquisition workforce, particularly around IT. Those pieces currently are out of the Senate passed version, but they are a part of what the House adopted in their defense bill. So all those pieces are sort of on the table, and it's a puzzle that we continue to hear and communicate with them about putting together. Our preference is that those pieces are in there. They don't increase the CBO score. We believe they can help move the needle and a part of the broader conversation about improving and reforming acquisition, particularly IT acquisition. And they're incremental steps, but they're steps in the right direction, and we hope they'll be there. There was some other language in there doing some further assessment at DOD about cloud computing, specifically what commercial cloud providers offer, and how those things can be better integrated into what DOD can make available to that community. And we're supportive of that language and where it's going. Those are the ones that we're supportive of and want to see. And then there's one, Section 1083, that we have questions about because it rightly encourages DOD and DNI to look at and understand threat assessments regarding information and communication technology networks on their facilities globally and understand the threats and risks that may exist, but it fashions what those threats and risks or creates a filter by which those threats and risks are supposed to be assessed, including one just focusing on foreign influence. And, you know, we strongly believe that where a product is made is not really as relevant as to how it's made and how well you secure the product and the processes used for development. You know, insider threat here in the U.S. is bigger than whether or not a product is made in a particular country overseas. So we're watching that provision. What's really concerning about it is it wants them to look at not only the networks that they have on their facilities, but it wants them to look at and report to Congress about telecommunications and IT networks in proximity to their facilities. So now we're talking about stuff that the private sector is creating on the outside of a government installation. And, you know, we believe they should also know about threats and risks that exist and might point at them and come to them from the outside. But there's also questions about what does that mean and how do we do that? And now we're talking about potentially private residences and neighborhoods around facilities, private businesses, and their telecom or information networks that they create inside those off-base facilities and neighborhoods.
I'm struck watching. Trey, I'm struck by your comments about Section 1083. Your colleague Erica McCann writing about this. We have a link to what she's writing at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. The reason that why this strikes me is that this is not necessarily all provisions that you're opposed to. One point she makes, the language is ambiguous, many terms not defined. Another one, no transparency, how this process will work, raises questions, causes confusion, doesn't offer meaningful solutions to improve the integrity of information technology. It almost sounds like you're not even sure what the thrust of this part of the legislation is for, or what it's supposed to accomplish.
Well, it is unclear, and there's a lot of terms that are used that don't track or map to existing use of those similar terms in statute, and those are some of the things we've asked them to refine. They have shared with us that there are a variety of national security reasons why they need to pursue this initiative, and we shared with them some alternative language that we think gets at what they're trying to determine, which is, are there threats and risks inside our facilities, in the networks, and in our neighborhoods and the surrounding environs where we have facilities that we need to know about. And we believe we fashioned what they look for, the terms they use when they're looking for it. You know, we pointed, for example, to terminology and language and definitions in existing statutes as things they should replicate here, rather than creating new terms and definitions. Or lacks of definitions, which creates people to be perhaps more broadly applying this than current law does. So we do all of the things that you rattled off are concerns about the way this, and we've tried to help them focus in more on specifically if there's concerns about these networks and there are classified reasons why there are threats out there that are known to exist. We believe there are ways to collect that information. You know, for example, 2 years ago, Congress passed legislation that required the DNI to go out and look at the telecommunications networks of the United States and inventory all the products and services that were used and identify where threats existed. So there's already information out there for them to use, and we've sort of pointed them back to those things as tools and information that they should be drawing from.
Trey Hodgkins of ITAPS writing about the National Defense Authorization Act, his colleague Erica McCann writing about it, actually, and Trey on to talk about it with me. You mentioned FATARA at the beginning of our conversation, and you said, I'm paraphrasing just from memory, but you said FATARA is still out there, or still alive, or something like that. You almost said that like we kind of have forgotten about it and nobody's paid much attention to it for a while. Is that something you would like to see change? I mean, something like FATARA, I can't imagine will get much attention in the lame duck, but I could see it kind of coming back in January when Congress starts up for real again.
Well, it is something that our community and the companies we work with are interested in seeing advanced, particularly if it has some of the elements I talked about, the acquisition workforce improvement. Data center consolidation is important. CIO authorities are important. And some of the pieces that are currently not included in the versions that are being discussed, in the Senate at least, what the Senate has advanced, we want to see put back in. It has sort of waned in its focus, you know, the broader community. I think a lot of people were unaware that the Senate Homeland Security Committee had actually advanced a proposal, and it's now pending on the Senate floor. There wasn't a lot of attention to that. So we do want people to know it's still out there. It is still part of the process, and there's still robust conversations going on. And we're supportive of, and we have shared with the Hill what we think a final product should look like. There are various pieces that came out of the House and out of various committees in the Senate, and we think that you can put them together and make something that satisfies everyone's concerns and interests and addresses the needs that exist in the community. And we've sort of mapped some of that out for them. We have to find a way to advance those things, but you're right, it is part of a need to focus and continue to have the conversations about how to do this more broadly and look at this longer term as we continue to try and create wholesale acquisition reform, specifically on IT, but that's one piece of a broader conversation.
We just have a minute or two left, Trey. Is it reasonable to expect that Congress is going to be able to hash all of this stuff out and still be able to get the at least CRs and at best appropriated bills for the rest of fiscal 15? Or is it your sense that they're probably going to just have to put something together as best they can? And maybe it'd be better to leave some of these provisions out altogether if they can't get some kind of agreement on improving some of these things.
Well, the Armed Services Committees are proceeding as they have in the last 2 years. They're taking what the Senate committee completed and what the House passed, and they're going ahead, and it's not conferencing, but it is conferencing. The staffs are sitting down. They're determining what is common, what's consistent, where they have interests that are joint, and they're hashing out a final product that will be presented, we believe, to the committees, to the chambers, for final adoption as if a conference had been completed. And that's probably going to occur in the December timeframe. So we believe that they will complete action on. The staffs are actually have been doing this for over a month, and we think they're probably much closer to finishing the product and having it ready for Congress when they return, and then it will be as much a matter of getting on the calendar as anything else. But the product, we expect them to complete that and get that action done. On the appropriation side, we believe that they will advance at least a CR, probably taking us into the first quarter of next year, and then there'll be a broader conversation about do we do an appropriations in the form of an omnibus, or do we extend the CR for the rest of the fiscal year? I think for companies looking at the federal fiscal certainty, there isn't any. They need to continue to position themselves to operate as if we're going to be in a CR, because we probably will be for the foreseeable several next months here. And then, you know, next year in FY16, we have to start talking about sequestration coming back. And so the fiscal outlook actually becomes dimmer. So all those things are at play here. There's discussions by the White House and Congress about altering sequestration. All of those things are at play here in the lame duck. But I think what we will probably end up seeing is some funding mechanism. There'll be a few other things they can get through and they can find consensus, like a defense bill. And then generally the many of the other issues, I think it's hard to tell where they're going to go and whether or not they're going to advance now, or we have to wait until the next Congress.